Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Frank Xiao. I'm just a new faculty of civil engineering hired by University of North Dakota. This noon I had lunch with my PhD advisor and forgot to put my name tag back, so I don't have a name tag. So anyway, all right. I want to share with you our results about absorption of two greenhouse gases, actually, nitrogen oxide and carbon dioxide on biochar. These greenhouse gases are the major driving force for global warming. As a result, we have shrinking glacial volume, we have rising sea level, and these two gases, two greenhouse gases, especially for nitrogen oxide, is three times more powerful than carbon dioxide at trapping heat in the atmosphere. Interestingly, agriculture is a major major source of nitrogen oxide, and folks have been working hard to try to reduce the emission of greenhouse gases, nitrogen oxide from agriculture soils. One of the promising technologies is to apply biochar as soil amendment to reduce, mitigate the emission of greenhouse gas from soil. And biochar is made from agricultural biomass at during pyrolysis at moderate temperature from 3 to 700 degrees centigrade in the absence of oxygen, and has biochar's pores with micropores, larger than 500 angstroms, and mesopores, those pores in between, size between 2 to 50 nanometers, or 20 to 500 angstroms. And especially has micropores smaller than 20 angstroms. And biochar is a very interesting, amazing thing. It has multifunctions as a soil amendment. One of the exciting results that people found that biochar can reduce the emission of nitrogen oxide from the soil. And the question here, we're trying to figure out whether this is simply due to adsorption because of biochar's powers, whether it's due to the absorption of greenhouse gases on biochar. This is how we get into this project. Later on, we'll find more interesting results. I'll show later. And first, let's look at the absorption nitrogen oxide N2O on biochar made at 300 degrees to 700 degrees. And this absorption increases as the temperature increases because the biochar now becomes more porous. When we compare the absorption nitrogen oxide on biochar with soils like sand, clays, and pohaki peat on humic acid, you find the absorption on biochar is 10 times, maybe much greater than absorption on soil. And we did some estimation to estimate the contribution of biochar amendment to the absorption of nitrogen oxide in the soil system. And we found the biochar can contribute to 80% using biomonte color simulation, 80% absorption of nitrogen oxide in the soil system, which is pretty remarkable. But we also did desorption of N2O from biochar. Now we found that the difference between the absorption and desorption on biochar, or the words absorption hysteresis, a difference between absorption and desorption on biochar is very narrow, it's very small. Comparing with the absorption hysteresis on the soil, on the sand, on humic acid. And then we also estimate the contribution of biochar amendment to the absorption hysteresis. Now we found the contribution is most likely less than 20%. What does this mean? This means once you apply biochar to the system, yes, it will absorb N2O because it's more porous than soil, but most likely you will see in the long run the absorbed N2O molecules will release back to the atmosphere. That's what the result shows here. And after seeing these results, we are wondering whether we can improve the absorption. Actually, this is Joe's idea. We tried to use this technique to improve absorption, initially herbicides on biochar, but I think why not we try on N2O, see if we can also increase the absorption. So this is called PPO, post-pyrolysis air oxidation, in short PPO. So basically, just at the end of pyrolysis step, just open the door furnace, let the air get in. So maybe temperature about 400 degrees. So that when temperature is still relatively high, the oxygen is going to remove the tars. This is our hypothesis. in the biochar and opens more pores for absorption. So as shown by this, opens more pores for absorption. This six figures shows the absorption of N2O on raw biochar 0 minutes, receiving 0 minutes PPO process, and on PPAO biochar up to 40 minutes, absorption clearly increases because this biochar becomes more porous. Interestingly, the absorption hysteresis also increases. Now we did a Monte Carlo simulation to estimate the contribution of this PPO 30 minutes PPO treated biochar on the absorption of N2O. Absorption contribution increases because more absorption. Also, interestingly, the contribution to absorption hysteresis also increases, suggesting this biochar can not only can hold absorb biochar, can really can hold the absorbed N2O molecules. Now we'll try to figure out how, or why the absorption hysteresis increases with this PPO treatment process. We think, here's the hypothesis, we think maybe that due to increasing certain pore volume in a certain pore range, somehow the N2O molecules, once getting into this pore range, are difficult to come out. So to test this hypothesis, we tested the correlation between the absorption and pore volume of biochar in different pore ranges. So here's the pore size distribution of raw biochar is the mesopore range, a micropore range, a mesopore range, and this PPO treated biochar for 5 minutes, you can see more micropores generated and mesopore stuff show up, and then increase in the PPO treatment, you can see now we have much greater, much higher mesopore volume here than the raw biochar. Raw biochar basically has micropores and doesn't have any mesopores for our biochar. But for correlation, we here have 7 points, which is not convincing us to establish convincible correlation. So we need more data. Now we also did a pore size distribution of, I think this should be soil and sand. But anyway, so now we have 14 points, including both the biochars and the soil and humic acid. Clay now have 14 points. So here are the correlation results. The x-axis is the absorbed N2O molecules, moles per kilogram absorbent. The x-axis is the pore volume. In this figure, pore volume in the size less than 4 angstroms. Here we saw a moderate strong correlation. R squared is 0.6. Now in the next range, we saw stronger correlation in the range between 4 to 5 angstroms. R increased from 0.6 to 0.83. So, but the correlation drops again and then becomes weaker again for the pore volume in this range. So if you look at this figure, y-axis is the correlation coefficient R, and the y-axis is the pore volume of this absorbent. Clearly, strong absorption occurs, correlates with the pore volume in the superpore micropore range. So superpore micropore range in size less than 7 angstroms. Now we have our explanation for the increasing absorption hysteresis. We believe that it's due to increasing pore volume in this super poor micropore range. Somehow the molecules get into there, difficult to come out. That's why we saw increasing absorption hysteresis, increasing difference between absorption and desorption. And also did a similar thing for carbon dioxide. And there's some similarities between N2O and CO2. Both show strong correlation with absorption between absorption and pore volume in super micropore range less than 7 angstroms. But also there's some difference between these two. For N2O, the correlation in this range is not as strong, but it's not very weak. But carbon dioxide, here you can see the R square is very low. This tells us carbon dioxide is more picky, more sensitive to other solvents. All right, this is the end of my presentation, and I want to acknowledge my postdoc supervisor, Dr. Joe Pignetto, so I'll be happy to answer your questions. Thanks.
Frank, what would the effective diameter be of the N2O molecule?
Diameter. You mean the size?
Yeah, the size. Yeah.
You caught me. I have no this number in my mind. It should be. Oh, you mean the comparison between CO2?
I'm just wondering what the mechanism really is, because those.
I see what you mean. I thought you were asking the exact size N2O. Yeah. I don't know, but this CO2 N2O, they have very similar size.
Yeah, but I mean, you see where your strongest correlation
right.
is actually in pore size where the N2O would
fit. Right.
How exactly do you use it in the sorption experiment?
The sorption is doing by a machine used to measure surface area and pore volume, and that is called autosorb. That's one can use typically used to measure the surface area of nitrogen surface area, but I can also use to measure the carbon dioxide surface area. That's to basically measure the micropore surface area. Now we change some parameter. Now we can use it to measure the using N2O as a carrier gas to measure. Use it to measure like surface area and pore volume.
Does that require that you take out the water?
Yeah, that's exactly. Totally? That's exactly. This study doesn't consider the effects of water. So this is our next step to see the effects of water molecules.
Okay, we have one more over here.
Yeah, what's the concentration for the sorption for the nitrogen oxide? What's the emission concentration?
Initial concentration. I see. I just want to show you the adsorption isotherm. Similar will be a 1 to 10 to.
Similar.
Because there are all start from 10 to -5 relative pressure. So relative pressure. P to P. Is that the question?
Yes.
Yeah,
so it's very high concentration
you're
using for
adsorption. The concentration varies. If I understand the question. Concentration here, I think it means the pressure, right? It's in gas phase adsorption. It's not concentration, it's pressure. So pressure will be P to P zero. P zero is the vapor pressure or saturated pressure, and P is the pressure in the system. So this P to P zero will be relative pressure. It's relative. I see what your question. It's relative to the we saw the concentration in the environment. Yes, that's true. The environment concentration.
Show them on the curve there.
Yes, I'm just doing this. So environment concentration for N2O is about this range. This range, 10 to -5, relative pressure. Carbon dioxide is in higher in this range, because carbon dioxide is more abundant than N2O in the air. So that's right.
Well, thank you.